Alhamdulillah, peace be with you. Thank you for tuning in to The Dean Show, another exciting episode. Thank you for joining us here on The Dean Show. We're going to talk about back home food, culture, and some of the backwardness that's crept into the masjids. And we're trying to help educate those who are tomorrow's leaders, who are trying to help to build a better society, because Islam has all the answers. And it's been sent to us as a mercy for all of mankind. So we're going to help everyone try to understand some of these back home cultures. And if you're a young student growing up in the United States, and your parents, that's all they want you to be is a doctor, engineer. And now maybe you want to be a sheikh. Maybe you want to be an imam. You want to be a spiritual doctor. But now you're feeling the fuel of the fire from your family because they're undermining this field. These are the kind of things we're going to be talking about on this week's show. So don't go anywhere. We're here with our special guest, Imam Ashraf Deen, on The Deen Show. We'll be right back.
This is The Deen Show. This is The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you.
And with you.
This is a greeting of Jesus, isn't it?
It is.
Don't we love Jesus?
We do.
And now the Muslims know this, obviously, but we get a lot of, we're on several satellite channels, thank God, all over the globe, and many, we get a lot of emails from the not yet Muslims, people who've watched The Deen Show, and they really love the positive message, the message of purpose, the purpose of life. So we let them into our lives, and we talk about different issues, real important issues, and one of those issues we're going to be talking about today is the back home culture, the back home mentality.
Sounds
you have
like
some
fun.
Experience with this?
Well, naturally, as an imam, yes, we...
What do we mean when we say, okay, this back-home mentality? Because we know Islam, the way that Jesus lived, you know, and some people are surprised when they hear this, you know, but we know Islam means submission to the will of the Creator, not the creation. So Islam's been there since the beginning, and it came with all the prophets. So we know Islam's not backwards, nor can it be backwards, but Muslims can be backwards. Is that right?
Yes.
Let's talk about this.
Well, yes, there's a difference between what Islam itself is, and that is a way of life, guidance, and how to live the best life possible so that this experience can be as meaningful and as fulfilling and as happy as can humanly be possible and achievable before having ultimately the greatest of what God Almighty, what Allah, the one God in Arabic, has promised us of eternal happiness in the life hereafter. So that's the religion, as opposed to the humans now who basically seek to understand and to live it in the way that the Prophet, peace be upon him, the Prophet Muhammad, that is, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and upon all the prophets, how he came to demonstrate it, to show it to us.
We know we have an epidemic now. It's become a real big problem. I mean, it's good in a way, definitely, that parents are encouraging their kids to be the best, you know, in whatever field that they choose to want to undergo. But we were talking about that there's kind of been set fields that if you're not, you're pretty much a failure if you're not a doctor or an engineer, you know, in this certain community. Can you go ahead and elaborate on this?
Well, it seems that when we're talking about culture and the way that we're a product of our environment, certain communities from overseas, they have a priority of what's the most successful that a person can be in life. And so they'll view, for example, medicine to be a doctor as the top. And second to that will be, for example, engineering. And third will be that which deals with, you know, computer technology and the field of computers and so on. So they have like this hierarchy. And however it may be in whatever area they come from, it may be because of the amount of money that it can generate. It may be because of the amount of education that's involved or the difficulty of getting into these, you know, universities to study that particular field. But the end result is that there is a hierarchy of what is the most prestigious career that a person can have, and then it works its way down.
Mm-hmm. And then from there, I mean, we hear like, and many of the youth complain, like, if I don't become a doctor or an engineer, and then from there I'm basically a failure in my parents' eyes. And I mean, obviously Islam shows that you need to respect your parents. You know, you really, there's practically no old folks home in Islam, is there?
Well, yeah. Not yet.
Not yet. There's really a high regard for parents, but how can we hold a balance here, a medium, where obviously you're respectful for your parents, but let's say the young child really wants to go ahead and be a spiritual doctor, right? He wants to be someone who's out there helping to, be an imam maybe, or a sheikh, or you know, this is really his calling. But now the parents, they put this position as something that's, you know, something that it's one of the knockoff positions. Like if you can't be, you know, a doctor, engineer, or maybe in computer science field, okay, go ahead, you can be an imam. And really undermining this position, this is a bad thing?
Well, look, you know, it would seem that part of the reasoning why they would have doctor, engineer, etc., is because they're looking at the amount of money that these positions generate. And it's very sad and it's unfortunate if there's a belief that says, well, if my son can't be a doctor, can't be an engineer, can't be a computer specialist, then last but not least, to kind of save the honor of the family, to save the face, as they would say sometimes, that they would then send them off to a madrasa or to become, you know, someone who memorizes Quran or a sheikh or something of that sort. That type of a mentality is a sinful one, because that's such a belittling of what is an Islamically, not just symbolic, but is an actually essential aspect of our religion. To belittle it to that point where it's as if, well, if you can't become the greatest of this, then, you know, at least if you're going to be a loser, let it be in this form of being somebody who still has some sense of value. Mm. That type of a mentality, that type of a belief is something that's actually disgraceful. It's something that Islamically is unacceptable.
I mean, obviously, there's other fields also. You know, if someone wants to be a journalist, someone wants to, you can name some other fields. I mean, this is obviously acceptable in the deen, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's something that's understood that we need to have every type of a career, every type of a profession, every type of a technical skill that's out there, from mechanics to teachers to bakers to you name it. We need them all. And so if everybody were to be a doctor in the same way that if everybody were to be a sheikh, life would be incomplete. And so it's not about minimizing these other fields, rather it's about seeing that we complete each other.
Mm-hmm. This is very important. So when we talk about back home mentality, I mean, we know that obviously, like I said earlier, Islam is not backward. Islam progresses with the time, but there's certain principles that we never compromise. Can you elaborate on some of this? Give us an example.
Well, yes, when it comes to the principles that are established, that there's, you know, they're going to be there and they're going to hold the truth of regardless of the time, is that there's only one God. You know, Arabic, Allah. And Allah is the creator, and the creator is the one who has made all that exists, and he is also the maintainer and the provider for all that he created. And he, out of this, we should recognize the greatness of Allah through seeing his creation. And that should help us to further want to demonstrate our love to Allah. This is something that's stable, that there's no change with regards to it. However, there's things that are, there's room for expression. And it's some of these cultural things. So in Islam, for example, you don't have to only eat rice. You can eat pasta, you can eat bread, you can have different types of things, so long as the restrictions are met, and that is to not have that which is of pork, to not have alcohol, and some of the other finer things.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with more on backwardness and it creeping up into even the masjids. So we got an exciting program with Imam Shmadim here on The Deen Show. Don't go anywhere.
How you doing?
I can't believe you let him do this.
Why not? You can handle it.
كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور.
Back here on the Dean Show, and we're talking about backwardness, and Islam is not backwards. Islam actually goes with the times because we have a thing called fiqh, right?
Correct.
So that's the deriving the jurisprudence on certain things that have developed now that we didn't have, let's say, way back then. And we say that Islam, when it was implemented, for instance, during the time of Spain, it was at the, you know, this is a golden ages, right?
Correct.
People were in the darkness, and Islam, you know, in science, and we have, there's a book out there, 1001 Inventions.
Yeah.
This is by the Muslims, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But now, a lot of times with religion, you know, people, they go ahead and attribute backwardness. But there is some backwardness in the Muslims, we said. And a specific situation, we hear this a lot. A lot of the people of knowledge, scholars, who they are the spiritual doctors, right? And this is even more important than a doctor who's saving lives. A spiritual doctor is one who's saving the hearts and souls, correct?
It's definitely of tremendous importance.
But now it's undermined. Right? So now let's say a person wants to, let's give a specific situation, someone who's an imam, like yourself, for instance, or someone else who's leading a community, but now you have, because you have, in Islam, you have shura, right? Can you equate this to a board? The board peoples as a shura? Because now you have board members who come in, have little knowledge of Islam, or they have a lot of knowledge in medicine, but now they undermine the position of the scholar, the imam, and everything is just going backwards. Have you had any experience with this or known anybody who's dealing with stuff like this?
Well, you know, when we talk about the word shura, it's to be understood that it's talking about consultation.
Consultation.
And we recognize when we look at things from a worldly perspective that when a person is seeking consultation, it's specific to a particular, you know, field, right? So for example, if a person is going to have a medical issue, they're going to seek second opinions, maybe even third opinions, right? And it's understood, it's natural. But they're seeking it from who? Once again, the people that are specialists in that field. Sometimes the physicians themselves will do this. The problem that we have sometimes is that within our Islamic organizations or our masajid, when we don't take these best principles, these best practices, these standards, which are really Islamic ones, and we through doing that, we do a disservice. So we are showing as if Islam is backwards because we ourselves maybe in not applying what Islamically really is a best practice and standard that is used even in non-religious fields and non-religious organizations that really are the foundation for specialization. What happens if you get a whole bunch of people who may not have anything of relationship to a particular subject, and you seek opinions from all of them? You have what's called pooled ignorance. And sometimes this is what happens. Religion is not a free-for-all. No field is free-for-all. We recognize the need for specialization, and every field has its foundation of whether it's mathematics or science or literature or history, whatever it may be. And we recognize that, and we have our limitations. The same thing is true even in Islam. And this is something that the Prophet ﷺ taught us, and he showed us, he demonstrated for us.
Mm-hmm. So let's give some specific examples, because we'll see that someone will be a leader in the community, and obviously that position is such a valuable position. But let's say you have certain board members, and we see this prevalent in a lot of the masajid, in a lot of the mosques, where now there's a conflict between the person who should be leaving, the emir. The imam would be the emir, right? The person who's should be listened to, and obviously if he's doing things in the best interest of the community, adhering to the Quran and the Sunnah, is this correct?
Well, that's what the prophetic model was. And
yeah,
for us as Muslims, we need to be convinced that what the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah's peace and blessing be upon him, what he himself lived, what he demonstrated, and what he died upon, that's what's best for us. So in his time, he was the emir, he was the imam, he was all of these things. And he was not a, you know, viewed upon in anything less except as being the messenger of Allah and being the example, the role model for them. When it comes to our masajid, the same thing should be true. That the imam is not viewed as an employee, that he is not looked upon as a person who is to be told what to do, to be led, but rather he's there to lead. And there's a big difference between the two, and everybody should be able to acknowledge that. So the imam, as you'll hear in many of these communities, well, they say he is our leader, he is our this. Well, if he's the leader, then he really needs to be empowered so that he can truly lead. And if being empowered, it means that he needs to then follow what the prophetic example was. The Prophet ﷺ, he had people working with him as a team. He knew who his congregation, who his jama'ah was. And this is why he would select the people that really stood out in whatever their strengths were. And that's what he empowered them with. And he delegated to them of tasks. And he set them free to take it to whatever boundary they could reach with it. In the way that we do things at our masajid, we have like these weird concoctions of all sorts of different things where we have some Islamic elements and we have other very un-Islamic elements which we try to make Islamic. We have boards that come in and out every 2 years where there's tremendous instability, 3, 4, 5 years, doesn't make a difference. Or we have, and so when they're switched, you have now this instability that's caused, but the main person who's there in day and out with regards to whoever is of leadership or in these positions, and yet, unfortunately, they're given the most minuscule of positions, of roles, of authority, of even being able to lead. The other extreme is where you have these shura councils, as they're called, where it's really a death till, till they die, basically, till death do us part, where in the same way that when we look at our countries back home, where you have these leaders that for, 40, 50, 60 years, they have sat in these positions, and according to them, everything is the best that it could possibly be. But you go ahead and look at the effects of their leadership and their organizations and administrations and how that's really impacting the people, it's a failure. They don't want to at the same time recognize that, hey, look, it's got to be the Islamic example, the role model, how he himself, the Prophet ﷺ, taught, lived and died doing things, or it's not at all really Islamic.
We're going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back with more to wrap this session up on a Deen Show with Imash Bin Deem. Don't go anywhere, we'll be right back.
Jihad, often mistranslated as holy war. The word jihad means to struggle. Islam does not preach violence. It does not preach vicious holy war. It certainly does not condone terror and suicide bombing. Islam preaches compassion, tolerance, and justice. Find the truth about Islam. Call toll-free 877-WHY-ISLAM. Order your free copy of the Quran today.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on the Deen Show. So how can the imam, the spiritual leader in the masjid who's supposed to be the emir, because you have a lot of people who want to do some good, so they might, really have some good intentions and they want to do good for the community, but now they end up getting in the way. They cause more, they don't show the proper respect towards the person who's supposed to be an authority, and they end up causing more harm than good. So what advice would you give for someone who possibly wants to be on the board of a masjid, who is on a board, you have a lot of experience there? What would you give advice so there can be this good collaboration so we can really move forward as a community and not backwards?
Yeah, and basically what you said is what needs to be done. Firstly, to have a good intention, alhamdulillah, that's fantastic. We praise and thank Allah if a person has that. But understand that that's something that only Allah knows. Because what's in my heart, whether that's what's being expressed or not, Allah only knows that. But it's not enough. And this is where we need to understand that if we're going to truly take the masjid and have it fulfill the different roles and functions that are so essential for the Muslim community, men, women, young, old, recent converts, as well as the non-Muslims that are also They have expectations from us. It requires more than good intentions. It requires that whoever is going to be involved, that they understand that they need to have some skills. They need to have some abilities. And so this is where truly, if you want to talk about shura, they need to consult with the imam. This is where the imam is a person that should be trusted. This is where the community who has hired the person, that they need to have trust and faith in him and they need to work with him. He's a person who's now going to be able to look at whatever skills people have. For example, there's some of our younger brothers and sisters who are excellent when it comes to technology, where you can give them these opportunities to develop the website, to go ahead and use the media in a way that's going to communicate, connect with the youth. There's other people who, mashallah, for example, they may be great at generating revenue, making money. It would be a shame to take a person like that and put them in the kitchen, for example, and having them bake or whatever the case is. And this is where we find that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam really excelled. He saw the likes of, for example, Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, Allah be pleased with him, that he was an expert when it came to reciting the Quran. He praised them. He said, whoever wants to learn how to recite the Quran fresh, just like it was revealed, they should learn it from Ubay ibn Ka'b. And that's what he set him up for. So when people now today want to go ahead and they want to volunteer, they want to be a part of something, that's great. But it shouldn't be haphazard. It should be organized. It should be in a way that things function in a way that is going to be best. And this is what, you know, this whole best practices, quality control, all sorts of different industries have their own measures. Best standards and practices and streamlining things are so essential. And when you have a stable figure like the imam in the community, people need to work with him. They need to realize, hey, I have intention that is to serve Allah, to do good. I have energy. I may have whatever skills and abilities. How can you best see me using it? And then to work as a team.
Have you seen this? We've heard some stories where you'll have someone who is, he's graduated, you know, from a prestigious Islamic university. He's come back to help lead his community. But now you have also someone who's also become a doctor in a certain field. He becomes a board president. And now he, you know, puts, you know, his degree up, above the Islamic scholar's degree. And now he starts basically, not only can he dictate him medicine, but he tries to dictate to him, you know, the fiqh of this, the fiqh of that. Basically, he undermines his position, and now there's a clash. Have you seen a lot of this happening also?
Well, that definitely happens.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's a very grave mistake. Because when it comes to anybody's specific field, we understand that there's a tremendous amount of respect for specialization. That's one of the things that has helped America to really reach its climax. Specialization, you have people that are experts in their field, you empower them, you help to further provide for them resources, whatever the case is, so that they can reach what they may not even know of their own potential and take things to new levels. This is what should be taking place within our masajid also. Alhamdulillah, people who have become medical doctors, engineers, whatever it is, that's great. But there should be a tremendous amount of respect for Islamic scholarship too. Just because a person may have a degree in whatever field it is, it doesn't mean that they now know whatever it is that they need to know about Islam. A person may have read the Quran from cover to cover 10 times, 100 times. It does not mean that they're an expert in what the Quran teaches in Islam. And so when it comes to these different individuals, they need to humble themselves. They should not see themselves as being the board or the bosses or, you know, the directors, and they're delegating to the imam, do this, don't do this. Rather, they should see themselves at the service of what Islam is about, working together with the imam under his leadership. Because we're talking about an Islamic organization. We're not talking about a hospital. We're not talking about a clinic. We're not talking about an engineering firm. We're not talking about anything else except what? A place that is meant to fulfill what La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is about. That there is no God in truth except for Allah who is one, and that he alone deserves to be worshipped, and that should be done according to the sunnah of the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
So we talked about having the proper intention if you're going to get involved in any activities that you want to obviously donate your time, but also knowledge. How important is really having the right knowledge? Because yeah, you could be an engineer or a doctor, but now, you know, you have to have some good basic knowledge at least of this deen. You know, isn't this really important before you do the action now?
Yes, and this is why we find that in Islam, in order for anything of our actions or our deeds to be accepted, they must fulfill two conditions. The first is that it must be done sincerely for Allah. So alhamdulillah, the Muslims who have that, that's fantastic. And Allah is the one who judges, we don't judge. And the second is that it needs to be done according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So that if it's not, then it takes it away from what he himself taught and what he has established. And most of the time that would be considered a bid'ah, just like in the first case, if it's not done sincerely for Allah, that would be considered shirk, that is being done for other than Allah, whether it's to show off or who knows what. The second would be an innovation in the religion. And so both of these need to be there. The intention itself is not enough. Following what the Prophet himself established of best practices over 1400 years ago, it's absolutely essential.
So what other advice do you have for people who are in the community, on some of the boards maybe out there, and they're, you know, trying to make a difference, and maybe they might, because a lot of the masjids, they have these conflicts from within. What advice would you have before we wrap up for these individuals?
Well, it's to understand that it's an act of worship, that these different positions, if a person is truly trying to do something for the religion, it's an act of worship. So it needs to be taken seriously. Secondly, it means that because it's an act of worship, they need to do things with knowledge. And this is where the imam is indispensable. So they need to have the imam really be an integral part of anything that's taking place in the organization. They need to be on constant communication. They need to be working together as a team. Everybody needs to be humble, recognizing that, yeah, there's going to be mistakes, but we learn from mistakes. We better ourselves from the mistakes that we may make. Where they need to realize that they all have a common goal and purpose. And if they were to do this following what is truly the best practices of what the Prophet himself established, I think that our masajid would truly be the magnets and the beehives that are bustling with activity, with energy, with results in a way that they're lacking now, or in a way that we may feel we have to some extent, but to a totally different degree that would really make us look back in comparison and say, wow, where we were at and we thought we were great, as opposed to where greatness really is and excellence.
That's all the time we have. So if somebody now also is, because we hear a lot about this, and if you have someone else who's going through these situations and they want some consultation on the matter, how would they get a hold of you? Is that possible?
Sure. I think the best way is through my email, which is, I'll spell it out. So it's my first name plus my last initial. So shpendimn@gmail.com. So shpendimn, all one word, @gmail.com.
So like they're seeing your name, shpendimnejako@gmail.com?
Right, except that it's not my full last name, just the initial of my last name. Yes.
Just the initial. Okay, thank you very much. You're May welcome. The creator of the heavens and earth, Allah reward you.
I mean, and thank you too.
And thank you again for tuning in to another episode of The Dean Show. So just some advice for myself and everybody, knowing how important knowledge is, because if you've become a doctor, you know how much time, or an engineer, how much time you spent reading, taking classes to get to the position where you're at. We should never undermine this knowledge in this deen, this way of life of all the messengers of God, Islam, submission to the will of the Creator, not the creation, and really putting in time, the same amount, if not that, at least a fraction of the amount of time to really know this deen according to the verbatim word of God, the Quran, and the way of life, the sunnah that we have preserved of the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So really taking the time to study it, to learn it, and we need teachers, because imagine learning boxing, jiu-jitsu, or your profession as a doctor and not having good qualified teachers. And we respected those teachers, didn't we? So we should really respect the scholars, the people that are out there, the spiritual physicians, and as long as they're pointing us in the direction, because the scholars are the inheritors of the Prophet. So as long as they're encouraging us according to the Quran and Sunnah, we should really respect them and sit at their feet and learn this way of life. Because that's how, by studying Islam, you are more convinced of it, because it's not blind faith. The more you study the verbatim word of the Quran, the more you're convinced of it, the more it makes sense, and the more your iman increases. Connect with us all the time on Facebook, like us there, follow us on Twitter, tune in to The Dean Show every week for a new show. We'll see you next time, God willing. Until then, peace be with you.